Hi, I'm Andy Kindler, and you're listening to PF's Tape Recorder. Are you enjoying it? I certainly hope so.
Hello there, I'm PF, this is my tape recorder. Coming up, comedian Ryan Stout.
The clubs that become the clubs that are for artists are the ones that tell the consumer, yeah, this you paid for a seat. You didn't pay for some sense of enjoyment. You didn't pay to have somebody pander to you or cater to you. You paid for a seat, and we gave you a seat, and then we're done with the transaction. Whereas other clubs that are more, the clubs that become the clubs that are for artists are the ones that tell the consumer, you paid for a seat. You didn't pay for some sense of enjoyment. You didn't pay to have somebody pander to you or cater to you. You paid for a seat, and we gave you a seat, and then we're done with the transaction.
Great conversation with Ryan about audience expectations and what we kind of expect as humans in certain situations. It was really cool. I think you're really going to enjoy it. We have a song of the week coming up from Varsity. They are from Chicago. But first, as always, a dumb bit. This week's dumb bit is from the files I like to call, I thought it was funny. So basically what this is it's an observation I have, doesn't really have a punchline, but just kind of has a, what I hope is a funny observation. So of course the big story this week, one of them, was comedian Michelle Wolf. She was the host, or the guest speaker at the White House Correspondents' Dinner. Now if you listen to my friend Jimmy Dore's podcast, Jimmy Dore asks every year why in the world the White House Correspondents are having dinner with the very politicians they cover. That's insane to him. And yeah, I guess that is, on the face of it, that is pretty crazy. But of course, as you probably heard, Michelle Wolf had some things to say, had some jokes that people didn't really, well, people enjoyed them. Some people got their little feelings hurt. And particularly, there was a joke about Sarah Huckabee Sanders, and the joke people mistook as a joke about her looks, it was actually a joke about lying. Anyway, so a lot of folks, Dennis Miller said he was going to work for a couple of days on some jokes about Michelle Wolf, and then he decided he wasn't going to do that, but that's a whole other story. So anyway, so there's a lot of uproar, right, about Michelle Wolf and the White House Correspondents' Dinner in 2018. They've been having White House Correspondents' Dinners, I think this goes back at least to the 50s or some such. So anyway, if there was only some way, Michelle Wolf used to work on The Daily Show, by the way, only some way we could look back and have predicted what would happen if you have someone who is associated with The Daily Show telling jokes at the White House Correspondents' Dinner, only if there was some way.
I feel like I'm dreaming. Somebody pinch me. You know what? I'm a pretty sound sleeper. That may not be enough. Somebody shoot me in the face. Is he really not here tonight? Damn it. The one guy who could have helped.
So, of course, that's Stephen Colbert back from 2006. Of course, Larry Wilmore also delivered some jokes a couple of years ago and used the N-word when giving his salutations to President Obama. He said, you know, my N-word, you know, because he's allowed to do that. He's a brother. He can do that. You can do it when it's, although people debate that, you know, in that context. You know, if Larry Wilmore is fine with it, then fine. But, and President Obama didn't seem to have a problem with it either, by the way. Anyway, a lot of other people did. So again, you know, it's just crazy that people don't realize that when you hire a comedian, and you can look up on YouTube, and you can look up everywhere what these comedians tell jokes about, and, you know, where they're coming from, that, you know, that something, that someone might get their little feelings hurt. So it just baffles me. Well, I thought it was funny. Ryan Stout is a stand-up comedian originally from Cleveland, Ohio, although he was only born there, really. He really grew up in Texas, and he tours the country, he headlines clubs and theaters, and he's very hilarious. He's had a number of TV appearances there on your late-night talk shows. Here now is our interview with Ryan Stout.
I'm outside right now, so let me know if I need to go inside, if that
if that helps with the sound or whatever. There's people like mowing their yard and stuff around me.
You're fine.
Let me know if the sound is an issue.
You're fine. And on this end, I need to warn listeners. Fangirl has just come home from university, and she's unpacking. So if you hear that noise.
No, I'm almost done. Almost done.
All right. There she goes. All right. So anyway. Last time we spoke, you had just come off building an hour around a couple of broken feet, as I recall.
Oh, has it been that long? That was, I ended up making an album about that called My Big Break. That was my last album that I recorded. And, that was like 1.5 or 2 shows ago.
Yeah. So, what are you talking about these days? What's, any new injuries or is,
I actually had a show that actually became really successful. I put together a show about psychedelics and the people turned out to be very interested in the subject matter and ended up doing a 111 city tour, with this show I called A Good Trip. And I'm actually doing it on, Tuesday night in Minneapolis at Acme. I still do it on off night here. And because of the subject matter, I can't do it on like regular shows throughout the week as my regular headlining set. So I just do it as like a special one-off show.
Okay.
Minneapolis people will potentially, they will have a chance to see me do 2 different performances if they like, or if some people might have already caught the Good Trip show while I was, came through with it. Through Minneapolis a few times, and so they can see my regular headlining set now.
So, do you have to have experience with psychedelics to appreciate the show, or having been people around who have done psychedelics, or what's the sweet spot here?
I would say that most people have a little experience, but definitely people have come with no experience, and I've really gone out of my way to articulate it for all, but it's definitely for people with experience, it's going to be more relatable for them for sure, but that's just the Tuesday night show too.
Yeah, yeah.
So if people want to see me just do regular stand up, that'll be all through
the rest of the week. Okay, yeah. I was always too scared to do psychedelics. My friends in college did them, and I was always like, I don't know.
They're not for everybody. The thing is that I will say that the show is more of a excuse for me to talk about psychology and consciousness in an interesting way. So even without any experience, most people seem to find it interesting. Once in a while, there's I remember one show in particular that I had on tour where two teenagers came with their moms, and none of them had any idea what the show was about, they're just like, oh, we're in town and we'll go and see a comedy show. And that was awkward for that. For like those 4 people, because seeing a show about drugs with your mom, I think it'd be a little strange if you aren't expecting that. But for the most part, I had nothing but positive reactions from people, experience or not. But it's, I have a science podcast called Here We Are that I've been doing for 3.5 years now.
Oh, that's
now.
Right. Yeah.
I think that I might not have had it the last time that we talked.
Yeah, I think you did. I think we talked mostly about broken feet. So maybe we didn't even get to it because that's a big interest of mine.
Yeah, I think that I may not have had that podcast at the time. I interview a lot of neuroscientists and psychologists, behavioral economists and stuff like that. And so I try to work that kind of stuff into my act as much as possible, which I also used to work a lot of science into my act too. But more so now, and it's really, I found that it's difficult to market a show to people like, hey, come and hear my jokes about how the brain works. I've had more success being like, hey, come and hear about my drug use. And then tricking people into hearing about how the brain works.
Okay. Give the people what they want.
That's been my strategy so far.
Yeah, give the people what they want, as the Kinks say. So, yeah, the interesting thing about psychedelics that I found was that, and this is kind of weird, is that my wife and I met in college, but we didn't date till way after college. But independently, our friends told us, and she told me this years later, we both had friends that were experienced with psychedelics, and independently, we were both told, this may not be for you, just because of the way our personalities were. My wife's friends told her, hey, the way you are, this would like exacerbate certain things. And my friends told me, they said, yeah, you're kind of prone to being down a lot of times. You might not want to do this. So I took their, I heeded their advice, and so did she. And that was that. So.
Yeah, well, I've actually used them specifically to manage my long-term depression issues.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've been incredibly therapeutic and helpful for me, but definitely they're not for everybody.
Right.
The show's more about the show is definitely much more about talking about the history of them and some of the research that is happening at the moment, and then sharing my personal experiences and whatnot, but it's definitely not, I've never been one to be like, everyone just needs to drop acid and then there won't be world peace. I'm not sure that that would necessarily be the case. I mean, wouldn't hurt to try probably, but.
Well, yeah, I mean, you never know.
But I don't think they're for everybody. It's a very, it's very different. I do think that in the future, if we can go back to how most psychedelic research started, which was in a therapeutic setting, I think in those kinds of settings that would in an ideal future be safe and regulated and guided by an expert and yada yada, I think that there would be a lot of potential for everybody, in which case I'd be like, yeah, why not? Why not give it a try and see if it's right for you or whatever. In the right set and setting, I don't think that there's any more risk than transcendental meditation or using flow tanks or something like that. But there is also there, that's assuming that there's screening for a family history of mental health issues and that sort of thing. But the problem is with prohibition, the way it is right now, is people are, you know, getting their hands on whatever they're told that they're getting and not knowing the correct dosage and being in these ridiculous environments like a keg party or something like that on mushrooms, which is not the best time to be having like profound insights into the human experience while you're like surrounded by a bunch of frat guys like shooting bottle rockets out of their ass or whatever. So there's definitely like I'm not just like, hey, everyone get out there and get your hands on whatever you can do and just gobble whatever amount you can manage the courage to do, and good luck to you. But the nice thing about psychedelics is there's no like addiction or anything like that. Really, and there's no harm of like overdose or anything like that. The real, issue is just some people have very profound experiences, but they then have trouble, kind of settling back into, this regular old perception of reality. But I've always had trouble with this reality. So psychedelics never gave me much trouble in that regard.
I see.
But yeah, they're not for everybody.
Yeah, as far as, you know, psychedelics for, you know, for world peace, some would argue the current administration is trying that right now. Hey-o! But,
I think this would be called a bad trip that we're on right now.
Terrible. So what's in your regular set? What kind of things are you talking about?
Right now, I've been currently talking about some... I've been trying to gently walk people into some like more meaning of life stuff, some a little bit of psychology. I really like talking about some of our unconscious decision making, subconscious kind of thought patterns, and I've been sharing. I'm bipolar, and I've been writing some material about that recently, and the struggles that I've had, and just kind of like trying to improve my life, and the you know, the journey that we're all on, trying to live our life to the most amount of satisfaction or whatever rewards that we're after, and the trouble in doing that, and the various ways in which our brains mislead us, my current set, I have like some jokes about neuroscience and psychology, but done in a fun way that are, I'd say, relatable to anyone. So I'm definitely trying to more and more every year. I'm really trying to push the envelope in terms of trying to express bigger and bigger ideas and more complicated ideas in accessible ways, so that most anyone should be able to understand them. So I'm trying to take like stuff about the meaning of life, to boil it down into a animal dick joke or something like that. So
sounds like deep stuff.
But then I also have been like closing with some like really, really outrageously silly stories of just outlandish things that I've done in my life, like drunk stories or whatever. So I definitely do, I do a little something for everybody. The material that I'm absolutely the most proud of right now is more, cerebral and challenging, I would say.
And do you think over the years, since comedy audiences have kind of, know how stand-up comedy works nowadays, at least, at clubs, like an Acme or a Go Bananas in Cincinnati, that they're more accepting of that kind of thing, or if some people still scratching their heads and like, tell a dick joke?
It's a difficult thing to navigate. At a place like Acme, I have like no doubt that the audience is going to be hanging in there with me, at least for the most part. But then it, some kind of lower level clubs that you end up doing on the road, sometimes there's some head scratching involved, and sometimes in those situations I'll cater the act more toward like, well, here's the dumb thing that I did when I was drunk 10 years ago, and get some of the easier laughs or whatever, which I still enjoy a good silly story and just goofy and being funny for the sake of it too. So I actually don't mind when I have to do that. But at a place like Acme, I think that Acme has curated a pretty intelligent audience and brings comics that are pretty reliably kind of trying to raise the bar content wise. Maybe not every single person, but I'd say if you look at the Acme comedy calendar compared to a lot of comedy club calendars, they're booking more cerebral acts. So definitely I'm doing my headier kind of material at Acme is the least of my worries.
Yeah.
I put a lot more thought into how I'm going to relate them in other cities to where, but basically, like, some of my more ambitious material, I'm like, okay, so what am I going to do when this doesn't work and people are scratching their heads? And I feel like I won't be having to do that at Acme. And, you know, I'm also from La Crosse, Wisconsin, so I'm kind of,
That's right.
I have some Midwestern sensibilities, and I've been coming through Acme and doing shows in Minneapolis for, I don't know, 10 years now or something like that. So I also feel like I have a sense of, but I more of what you may be asking, is that I also do think that overall, audiences are getting a little smarter. Maybe I'm just getting smarter and trying out smarter material or being smarter about the way that I'm delivering it, and maybe audiences have been smarter all along than I've given them credit for. But it might also be that that people are a little less isolated in their little bubbles. I think that that the variety of television and access to information on the internet and everything else has kind of, everyone's having to kind of get up to speed a little bit. Like, I've been watching Westworld on HBO. The second season just came out, and there's like Game of Thrones on HBO as well. So, like, if you have an HBO subscription and you're watching some of their like higher quality content on there, there's very high levels of sophisticated thought happening. So even just to like watch good television these days, you need to be a little better informed. So I think there is just kind of this natural progression where, I think that dumber people are getting smarter because television is kind of raising the bar a little bit, maybe not in terms of like game shows and reality TV, but I think of like good quality dramas and comedies happening out there are getting smarter and smarter. But I think that maybe smart people might be getting dumber just because TV is so addictive.
Yeah, and
so,
social media.
So maybe we're all kind of regressing to the mean and we're all becoming a blob of average intelligence.
And social media is probably not helping in the upkeep of our smartness. You know, you would think.
I wish I never would have. You know, my representation really pushed me into getting into social media back in like the MySpace day, and then like when Facebook first came out, like really impressed upon me the importance of joining this stupid platform that I had no interest in, but they like basically forced me to join up. I think that I would have 11 comedy specials by now had I never went on social media, and now I waste hours every day doing looking through a feed of people's statuses who I just don't care about, and we're all just boring ourselves to death and making ourselves angry on there. So yeah, I kind of dislike social media, but at the same time, I use it to promote my show. So
yep.
It's a double-edged sword in that way.
Yeah. I mean, people say, oh, do I need to find out what my friends are doing? Well, I like to check in now and then, probably not as much as I have been doing. Although for my day job, I kind of have to be on it because I have to, or the company I work for uses it. So I kind of have to monitor it. And my wife is the same way. She works in social media for a large packaged goods corporation. So she has to have it up. And then, of course, when it's up, you're tempted to look at it, and you do. And it's just, yeah, it's just great. Well, most of the time I spend looking and, oh, that's not true. That's not true. That's not true. Both of news and
right.
Maybe even things my friends are up to. But well, great, man. This was a great chat. Glad things are going well for you. We'll tell folks be on the lookout for the Tuesday show, and then of course the rest of the week there, the Wednesday through Saturday at Acme in Minneapolis, and of course have look for you in other towns as well. And appreciate you taking the time today. Oh, and we'll link to your podcast from my podcast page for folks listening on any other way than through iTunes, like in Podbean. We'll link to it.
Yeah, that'd be great. Here we have a podcast. I have a different scientist on each week talking about their particular field of study.
Awesome.
It's really interesting.
And what's the name again, if people want to look at it real quick after they shut off this podcast?
What's that?
What's the name of your podcast again?
Here We Are.
Here We Are. Very good. Okay. Look for that wherever you get podcasts.
Yeah, you can go to herewearepodcast.com.
Excellent. All right, man. Well, great. Have fun up in Minneapolis. Hope to see you soon again in Cincinnati. And have a great day.
All right. Thanks a lot,
Shane. Bye-bye. Thanks again to Ryan Stout for being on the show. You can catch Ryan, May 8th through the 12th, at the Acme Comedy Company there in Minneapolis. He doesn't have any dates beyond that. I reckon he's got some other things cooking, perhaps some more TV appearances, but I'm sure I'll be updating it soon. Go to ryanstout.com for all your Ryan Stout needs. There's some fun stuff on there, too. There's a little quiz you can play, how well do you know Ryan Stout, based on the Two Truths and a Lie game, so check that out. So let me see, that brings us, I guess, to the song of the week. Oh, I have a request for you, by the way, first of all. Besides buying shirts from oldschoolshirts.com, I would like you to go to the Cincy Shirts podcast, look that up, and maybe just give a listen to it. Even if you're not from Cincinnati, you might enjoy some of the guests we've had. We've had a wrestler on, a guy from WWE, Rob Williams. We've had a soccer star on, Jimmy McLaughlin. He used to play in Philadelphia for the Union, the MLS team. He now plays for us here in Cincinnati, FC Cincinnati. We have a Haunted Cincinnati episode, which, again, it is Cincinnati specific, but it's really cool. In fact, one of the ghost hunting shows came to town a couple of years ago and visited some of the sites this guy talks about. So do check that out. Just look up the Cincy Shirts podcast. There's an old Cincy Shirts podcast in iTunes that has like 4 episodes, I think. The new one that I'm producing, we're up to episode 12 now. So do look for that. It's in iTunes, Stitcher, all the places you get your podcast. Do check it out if you'd be so kind. And leave a review of that podcast and maybe this podcast too. That would be super. Thank you very much. All right, so Song of the Week. Yes, Song of the Week is from a group called Varsity. They are from Chicago. And I know this is kind of lazy reviewing, but if you're old like me, it's probably the most helpful way to describe a band. Who do they fit in with? Well, I would say I would compare them to Alves, who are from Canada, a little less, I don't want to say grungy, but a little less, Alves adjacent, I would say. Also maybe a less electronic Metric, also from Toronto. But Varsity are from Chicago, and if you're kind of old school, like an old fool, going back to the 90s, think of Velocity Girl. They had their big hit, Sorry Again was the one, and I think Gilded Stars was their tune that they had on the Clueless soundtrack, and a lot of other great tunes as well. So anyway, had a hard time picking which song I was going to play. They have a couple of singles off of their new album called Parallel Person, and I think I'm going to go with It Must Be Nice, although I like A Friend Named Paul a lot. I think Must Be Nice a little more indicative of their overall sound. So we're going to go with Must Be Nice from Varsity as Song of the Week on PS Tape Recorder. You can check them out, of course, everywhere all over the internet. Their album is out now. Again, it's called Parallel Person, and this is a track from it. Must Be Nice, Varsity, Song of the Week on PS Tape Recorder. So long, and thanks for listening.